Hey, good to see you this morning. Today is the last Sunday of our time together with the book of Matthew. Those of you who've been here a long time know that this year, 2009, we've been reading, preaching, studying the book of Matthew, and we come to the very end of it. And then we're going to, next week, start in the Gospel of Luke, where Luke has one of the most wonderful Advent stories, the story of the coming of Christ. So, as we've noticed in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus gives us three commandments. He reiterates two that are in the Old Testament. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And today he says, go and make disciples. What I'd like for you to do is pull out, if you would, this insert. On one side, it's Trinity's Advent season. The other side is that young woman standing at the top of a mountain. And this is the theme for the new year, but I want to introduce it today. Traveling light, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And I want us to talk about dropping different things off so that we can do that. And what I hope you'll do is either post this on your refrigerator or somewhere, or give it to somebody. My prayer is that 3,500 people or more will come Christmas Eve. And we'll promote this on Christmas Eve to a lot of people who don't normally maybe come to church, but who may want to take five steps to a better you in the new year. So hopefully you'll be praying with me. But I'm going to refer to that as we go together today. Oh, before I start and read the scripture, tonight's 6 o'clock healing service in the chapel will be dedicated to Reverend Jim Brown, who is very active in that. That's tonight. Let's read the scripture, if we may. Matthew 22. One of the persons said to Jesus, what's the greatest of all the commandments? And he replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And some versions have in all your strength. In 38, this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And then in today, the very last few verses of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus came to them. This is after Jesus had risen from the dead. He's at Galilee on the mountain. 11 have gathered, and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. This past week or so, I was at the inauguration of President Timothy Tennant, Asbury Seminary, the 8th president of Asbury, and he told a story that I've since learned has been in the news to some degree. Maybe some of you knew it, but I didn't know this. He talked about the sinking of the Titanic, and we have a picture of the Titanic. All of you have seen this. We couldn't get the one with that young woman on the front of it, but Kate Winslet, is that her name? Yeah. At any rate, but 97 years ago, April 15, 1912, the Titanic sank. There's been a lot of speculation as to what caused it to sink. There was a faulty rudder, somebody thought. It was going too fast. Indeed, this was Captain E.J. Smith's retirement voyage. And he wanted to do it in record time to demonstrate you could get across the Atlantic in 6 days. So there's a lot of pressure. He was going fast. It may have been the angle at which they hit the iceberg. The thing is, it wasn't a huge gaping hole like we thought, that where the thing kind of went down like that. As they discovered, the next one I think shows us there were these seams where the rivets were, that sort of like unzipped and it went down. And what caused the sinking of the Titanic? This current study says what really sank the Titanic maybe been all those things, but it mainly was faulty rivets. Faulty rivets. Here's an example of one that's used in the building of the Titanic. They're supposed to be steel rivets, and those will hold about anything. But these used iron and somewhat faulty iron, and they recovered 49 rivets. And their high levels of slag, which made them brittle, particularly in cold weather. And it was indeed cold. It didn't have enough high top quality rivets. And they were under enormous pressure to get this thing finished. There were lots of people involved in the I mean, it was a competitive business. I think the next picture shows off to the sort of side there is this hydraulic riveting machine. And one thing I read was the one that was used to pound in the steel rivets couldn't get to some of the nooks and crannies. And so they used a lesser one to drive in lesser rivets, which were made of this cheaper iron. There were a number of mistakes involved with this. So here's the deal. Here you have this amazing ship of ships that I just heard between services. Somebody said that the captain said even God couldn't sink this ship. That's not something you want to say. magnificent hardwood floors, ornate chandeliers, brass gold fixtures, the best, most glamorous things on the surface. And the thing that really mattered were faulty rivets. Faulty rivets. Now, Trinity, we're about rivets. And God has given us, Jesus has given us three rivets. Love God, love neighbor, make disciples. It's just that simple. It's just that complicated. Love God, love neighbor, make disciples. That's what fuels this church. It's those fundamentals. And so I want us to look at that in light of the thing I've given you, the traveling light. And that is to say, first of all, you and I shall love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love God, the triune God. Remember, it's the triune God. Love God, the God who is over and above us. The God who creates us. The God who is sovereign, holy love. The God who inspires us. The God of the heavens. The God of who is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. All of those to inspire. The triune God, God the Father. God the Son is God with us, Jesus among us, with us, Emmanuel, God with us, to save us. God the Holy Spirit, that is God within us, the indwelling presence of Almighty God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, when we invite the Holy Spirit to come and live us within us, God to empower us. So God the Father to inspire us, God the Son to save us, God the Spirit to empower us. It's wonderful. So love God with all your being. Is what the commandment said, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So what we want to do in today and then in the first of the new year is, how do we drop off some of the excess baggage that keeps us from doing that? How do you love God with all your heart when sometimes your heart has some rough edges to it, when your heart has some things that keep you from loving God with all your heart? Jesus said, it's not what goes into a person, it's what comes out of a person, which is the expression of one's heart. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and restore a steadfast spirit within me. Psalm 31. Bobby Corner and Jim Corner were members of this church for a while. They're up at Penn State, and they're coming back, I think, at the next service for Thanksgiving. And I remember her doing one Lenten dramatic reading. It was My Heart, Christ's Home. And she talked about inviting Christ into the front room of her heart. And then the next room. But there were four or five rooms she didn't want him to come into. Are you like that? Can he come into every room of your heart? If you'll notice on this, I've given you a book. And there may be other books. For your heart, there's a book called 1 Month to Live. It's written by Carrie and Chris Shook. If you knew you only had 1 month to live, you would probably get your heart in order, wouldn't you? I know people who've done that. I know my former district superintendent, Ray Harrison. He and Bob Bledsoe were sort of two towering figures in the annual conference, and they went at it tooth and tongue and sometimes went over the edge in terms of anger at one another. After Ray found out he had prostate cancer, he thought he might die, but he lived a long time. But he cleaned up his act, as it were. And I remember publicly him apologizing to Bob Bledsoe. He wanted to get his heart right. How do you do that? You do it through confession. So I've got a number of physical props today. I brought up the Healthy Hand Start here, the Purell. All of you are used to Purell, aren't you? And you do it pretty regularly today, these days, once a day, twice a day. You need to do the same with your heart, where you confess. Jesus, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. I shouldn't have done that. And just so you can love God with all your heart. Just bring it to Him. Love God with all your soul. You know, I don't talk about sin a lot. Maybe I should talk about it more. I'll try, if you really want me to. I'll tell you why I don't. I've told some people this. The reason I don't do that is when I first started my ministry, I did talk about sin quite a bit, and nobody changed. They just kind of went, ah! Or what happened is they put on an illusion. They created a false self so that they could sort of please the preacher. That's what can happen if you hammer sin too much, you know? You aren't real. Then I watched Jan as she taught students and other people, and she just loved them, and they kind of were transformed. I said, heck, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And so I have focused a lot on the love of God. That's what changes me. And yet I'm aware that we live in a broken world. In a broken world. I was at Asbury, and two students gave the devotional, and one talked about this husband and wife, delightful young couple from Texas. She talked about being sexually abused when she was young. And somehow that can have a scar, but I think in the fact that she was able to bring it out in the open with God brought about a lot of healing. We have great healing services here for the brokenness that's there. I wonder if some of you are like me or other people, I'm sure you are, or like Pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan, you remember? He talked about Pilgrim carrying this huge sack on his back throughout all his journey. You know what I'm talking about? And he carried it, and he struggled with this sack. These are things he put in there. Shame, the guilt, things he'd done wrong. And he finally made it up to the Calvary's hill, and he got to the foot of the cross, and it fell off and rolled back down into the empty tomb. Isn't that great? So we can love God with all our soul because of the power of Jesus to make us whole. The two books there, Pilgrim's Progress and Strength for the Broken Places, my friend Jim Harnish has written that. I'm going to use that in some studies in the new year. And then he says, dropping debt, peace of mind, love God with all your mind. Now, I know it's bigger than just financial peace, but financial peace is a big piece in our day. Philippians chapter 2, verse 11 says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, the mind of Christ. Romans 12, 1 says, do not be conformed by the world, that is to say, squeezed in by the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can love God with all your mind. I have this button on that Troy gave me. I have a plan. And that plan is, for Jan and me, it worked. For hundreds of people, it worked. It's the financial peace plan. It's not the all end all and be all, but it is amazingly helpful. You can't control the economy. You can't control the healthcare debate. You can't control a lot of things, but you can have a plan. And I encourage you, if you haven't taken financial peace, to sign up for the January time. I noticed in the Thursday paper, Coach Urban Meyer, did you notice this in Thursday's paper? He said he stopped doing Facebook and Twitter. He said, the title goes, Gators tune out media. They're not listening to the nationwide negative talk. When you're 11-0, you can do that, you know. He turned off his computer. Why? Because I let the media corrupt me, he said. I was letting what others were saying and expecting affect my coaching. His focus was directed toward impressing rather than winning. Wow. And you know, you can get caught up in that, can't you? In all levels of life. Impressing instead of winning. He deflected him from his plan. He's not listening to the media. He's finding a way to move forward. He says, I actually feel great ever since then because we just go. Loving God with all your mind, clarity of mind, peace of mind. This helped us get our own house in order. And I'm hoping that a lot of people will come, like I say, Christmas Eve and pick up on this. Number four, dropping weight. Now, Jan said, you got to be careful here because you're going to make a lot of people upset if you're not careful. But, I will say, before I do that, I wanted to show you this bag. This is a bread bag, a rye bread. And I used to throw these away. Do you throw them away? But I thought, you know, I could save some money on Ziploc bags if I just keep these and use this as a sandwich bag. When Jan and I were living in Princeton, we were poor as could be. And Jan even hung out to dry the Scott's towels she used to wipe up things so we could use them again. And we've gotten away from that. But, you know, that ain't all bad. Now, I told you that I lost 18 pounds. And I've found five old suits that are now new suits to me because I had them years ago. I put them in the back room, and now I can use them. And I have to use them because Troy said, fill out your estimate of giving card a little higher than you did last year. So I don't have any money left to buy new suits, but I don't have to now. You know, I don't mean this to be discouraging. I mean it to be encouraging. And one of you here gave me the courage and the encouragement to do this. And it worked. It's working for Jan and me. It's this flat belly diet, 400 calories four times a day. At any rate, I just share that with you. But it's important for all of us because hypertension, diabetes, our heart, it's important. Hope you'll take that up. Next, drop excuses for not loving others. Love God, love others. I don't need to have a visual. It's all over there. 2,300 Thanksgiving baskets. Thank you for all of you who've been a part of that. This afternoon, people will come and Andrew and his team will make them feel like guests. Welcome them. One time we prayed, and I want us to keep praying. Lord, send us the people nobody else wants or sees. A friend of mine, George Acevedo, was on the Wesley study tour in England, and he went to New Room in Bristol, England, where John Wesley had a church service, a meeting house. And the person who was leading the tour dressed up like John Wesley. He was an older gentleman. And so he answered questions in the first person. And so when one of the persons said, now, were there originally pews here in this worship center? And Wesley said, oh, no. As soon as the worship service is over, we push back all the chairs and all of the benches so we could set up our medical clinic and our food service. And I said, thank God we didn't put pews in here. Thank God that this place is used 7 days a week and could be used more so. When Peaceful Paths, their building burnt down, they were meeting here. Interfaith Hospitality Network, hundreds of kinds of things happen in this place. Thank you for helping Trinity love others. And then finally, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Disciple is one who's being transformed, growing more and more into the likeness of Jesus, who's a follower of Jesus, through all the ways. When I ask people on Wednesday, why is it hard sometimes for you to share your witness and make disciples, and what compels you to make disciples? And the response was, what keeps me from doing that or makes me hesitant is a lack of my own confidence. I may come across as a know-it-all. It's hard for me to step out of my comfort zone. I don't want to tell people what to do. One person said, I remember how it was before I had a relationship with Christ. If somebody would have said that to me, I'd have thought they were crazy. And then I said, well, what is it that compels you? And several people said, it's the prompting of the Holy Spirit. It's praying and asking Jesus to open doors. It's, when it comes down to it, is when we know and love Jesus and what he's done for us, we want others to know the same thing, don't we? I've got a final visual, and it's a baseball diamond. Many of you read the book Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. And this works for him. It's more of a Baptist way of doing it. And we do this to some degree. But in his view, getting to first base is inviting people to know Jesus. Second base is helping them grow, nurture them. Second to third base is helping them discover their spiritual gifts. And third base, the home, is missions and outreach. And, you know, we do that to some degree. Alpha is a great way to get to first base. Disciple, Bible study, daily scripture emails, all of those things. Outreach. But, you know, nobody kind of goes the same way. We all have our own path. And if we were doing it, we might reverse it. What if we started at home plate and went to third base, and that was missions and outreach? I tell you, when we had the Stop Hunger Now, that created 50,000 meals in an hour or two hours, there were a number of college-age kids, don't know if they're religious or not, they saw signs that Andrew had put out, and they came. And here's what I imagine in my mind them thinking, because a lot of young people, a lot of other people are turned off by the church. There's a credibility gap. They think the church is hypocritical, all those sorts of things. You've heard the excuses. But in my imagining, they came and they helped with the Stop Hunger Now. That's from home plate to third base. From third base to second base, they said, you know, these people aren't too weird here. I mean, they're kind of normal. Oh, second base to first base. Oh, wow, they're doing this out of the love of Christ in their hearts. Oh, I think I want to get to know him better. First base to home plate. You know, it works different ways. Here's the question I've asked you before. Do you first believe and then belong? Or do you first belong and then believe? Or both? Or are they woven together? As somebody said on Wednesday, whether or not we can help someone believe, we can help everyone belong. And that's part of our task. You know, we're about rivets here at Trinity United Methodist Church. We are. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's one rivet. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the other. Make disciples. That's the other. I believe you believe in that vision. That's who we are. That's what we're about. That's what God has called us to do and be. I believe you feel a call to support that vision. And I believe you want to give generously to make that happen. Thank you. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Oh God, some of us may be carrying a heavy sack. Some of us just need the Purell for our hearts. Whatever it is that's going on today, Father, we thank you. We thank you that this is Trinity's vision that comes straight out of this New Testament. To love you, to love others, to make disciples. So we pray for generosity, that this vision might become a reality for hundreds of more people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.